The Bible reading is from Hebrews 3, 7 to 13. So as the Holy Spirit says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, through for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with this generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declare on oath in anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness."
Well, hello. If you receive our GBC e-news, you might be expecting a message from Mark Rader today. But unfortunately, he couldn't join us for filming. I can confirm he does not have COVID-19. But we saw this as an opportunity to do something that we actually do a lot here at GBC. It's an integral part of our culture as a community, which is to read the Bible together. So today, I'm joined by our associate pastors, Mark Coleman and Jodine Watling. Guys, how are you going today?
Going good, thanks, Matt. Good to see everyone here today. Getting used to this cooler weather now that's coming.
So. I know, I've got a jacket on.
Yeah, it's cooling down. But yeah, looking forward to spending some time in God's Word together.
Yeah, I'm going okay. Definitely this time has got some challenges. And so you're kind of still in a process of continual adjustment to those things. But I'm going good and equally looking forward to sharing this time together.
Awesome. Well, with that in mind, let's get straight into it. Obviously, the reading the Bible together method has a few really like helpful but simple questions that we can ask when we open up the scriptures that helps draw out the truth and the lesson for us. So we're just going to get straight into those. Question one, and I'll throw to you, Coleman, first. What stands out for you in this passage in Hebrews 3?
Well, I think the first thing that really stood out for me as I was kind of reading through this was that there's this really stark warning. If I was looking for a summary title for this passage, it's kind of like it's a cautionary tale. And here there's this challenge, and it's making reference to God's people walking away from God in the Old Testament, particularly referencing times that are recorded in Exodus and in the book of Deuteronomy as well. But specifically, this passage references Psalm 95, and it speaks of that language of rebellion and hardened hearts and God's people kind of turning away from this invitation into life with God as their God. And I think just this stark reality of the challenge for God's people to step away from rebellion and actually to return to God. And I think it's a challenging text for us. And it is, as I said, it's that cautionary tale for us.
Yeah, great. Jode, same question. What stands out for you?
I think similarly, it's just the level of challenge that's in this particular passage and it was part of the letter. These followers of Jesus, I guess to some degree were newish followers of Jesus, were being persecuted for this new faith and lifestyle that they were taking on. Mm-hmm. So they were experiencing, I guess, the perceived benefits were outweighed by the cost of potentially being thrown in jail, you know, attacked by people, all these things that were happening to them, that they were literally ready to just walk away and abandon that. So that really stands out for me. It's quite, a contrast.
Yeah, which seems a bit like it's a tricky tension, isn't it? Like here are people who are experiencing a really rough go because of their faith, but yet the author is kind of saying, hey, hold up, like watch out because you are starting to mirror the behavior of the Israelites in a time where they really rebelled against God and walked away from him. Mm. So it's like, yeah, but it's hard, but don't do it. Like don't drift away.
And it's so funny because when you read those stories in the Old Testament and through the Torah, you're like, these people are so ridiculous. Why did they do that? Can they not see that God was there? And it's like, oh my gosh, it's me.
Yep.
And actually, one of the themes, particularly that this this passage is referencing and picking up is one of those stories where God's people are waiting there at the foot of the mountain. Moses is up the mountain and receiving the Ten Commandments. And even in that time when Moses is up the mountain, you know, God's people are like, okay, we'll wait here. And in that time, they've kind of gone and built a golden calf and have decided to worship other idols. And they're making this decision towards something seemingly more immediate. Mm. And absolutely, as Jodine was talking about, you can kind of look at that and go, oh, that's ridiculous. Like, he was just up a mountain. Surely we should have just waited for that time. But actually, like, when you begin to dive a bit deeper into that, you kind of think, oh, yeah, okay, I can understand. They were looking for something that immediately secured them in a time that was really challenging and a time of oppression for them, kind of a bit like now.
Yeah. Well, I guess a good next question for that is, what questions are raised for you in the text then, knowing and I guess understanding that context that you guys have both laid out for us? Jode's questions that are raised.
I think it makes me curious as to what were the people thinking and feeling, because obviously these were the small increments that started towards the big drift, which then eventually ended up potentially walking away from faith. Yeah. So I'm always curious to see, like, what are the road signs? What are the hallmarks? Because a journey of faith is a lifelong journey. And you want to be able to see the things ahead, the road signs ahead that tell you either you're on track or maybe you're veering off into a ditch or maybe you should just stop. So I think I'm curious about what were the people feeling? What were they thinking? And it's really interesting because obviously this letter here is talking about a time of persecution, which we don't experience in an Australian context, in a Western context so much. I think our dangers are probably more apathy, convenience, like this is inconvenient, or I don't have enough time. So it's just interesting that I guess there's drift here, but culturally they can be to do two different, reasons for drift, but the destination's possibly the same.
But I think that's interesting, you know, that you talk about that, you know, theirs was a time of persecution and maybe ours isn't. I wonder if we're just experiencing a different type of persecution. I mean, we still live in are we post-Christendom or post-post-Christendom or triple post-Christendom? I don't know where we are anymore, but I know that we're in coronavirus. So, you know, but our world is kind of at odds with Jesus, isn't it? Like, and I think persecution just looks different, but we still receive it. And so it still kind of creates this tension for us that we exist in of, I feel like faith and my experience of society and culture are kind of at odds with each other, and that puts us in a hard position at times. So, yeah, I don't know. Common questions that are raised for you?
I think the thing that stands out for me and the question that I immediately come away with is, what fuels God's righteous anger today? And, you know, you hear this language and people often talk about the God of the Old Testament being different to the God of the New Testament. And I am constantly reminded and challenged to go, well, actually, you know, it's the same God. And what we read in the Old Testament, when you dive deep into that, actually, you see the nature and the character of God that is revealed in the person of Jesus. So if I believe that that's true, if I believe it's the same God, you know, then I must believe that God's responses to the sorts of things that are going on that were described in the Old Testament in these Exodus and Deuteronomy accounts, you know, he's going to have that same kind of response now. And so the questions for me are, you know, what in my life really it fuels God's anger? What are the sorts of things that we do as Christians today that displease God? Because I think, you know, it's very easy for us to miss that challenge and to quickly move on to, you know, a story of grace and mercy, which I think is right, and you know, and the book of Hebrews will lead us there. Yep. But it's really important to spend time being challenged by a text, because I think, you know, listening to that brings us to a place of being able to grow and being able to hear, I guess, the rebuke of God in that place that we might learn. And I think, you know, I'm challenged to ask the question, where is my heart my heart hard towards God. And the Bible talks about this idea of our hearts being hard is ultimately what happens when we turn our hearts away from God. And it's almost a kind of a metaphor for rebellion or disobedience. And I think, well, when I think about it in those terms and not just thinking, oh, it's about a hard heart. Where's my hard heart? My heart hard, but that was a tongue twister.
Say that 10 times fast.
But what is it that I do that is turning away from God? And where is my life kind of in rebellion? And I think that's the challenge for me and asking questions, okay, where in my life am I turning away from God? And where will that provoke kind of God's anger, righteous anger in that space? Because ultimately, that is us choosing to turn away from a life of entering into God's rest.
And I'm glad you said that, because this passage talks about being able to experience and live within God's rest. What is God's rest?
Yeah. Well, I did a bit of reading in that too, because actually when I was looking at this passage in preparation for this, that was one of the questions for me that really stood out is, you know, what is this idea of rest? Because it's very easy in kind of Christian terms to think of God's rest as being that time with God in the new creation, you know, once Jesus has come and everything is restored, you know, that's the place of ultimate rest. And of course, yeah, that is. Like, that's the culmination of all these things. But what I was really, I guess, excited to hear and discover in my, like, research and reading around this passage is that rest is also for now. And a lot of that thinking comes out of drawing out this idea that actually, you know, the passage talks about God resting on the seventh day in the creation story. And whenever that story comes up, that is an invitation for us to think about our everyday rhythms. And that's not something that's kind of distant and far off, but that's actually a part of being involved in God's plans and purposes in the world right now. Yeah. Like, this is what we're invited to live in right now. God's kingdom come right now. And I think I loved that this idea of rest is actually about living this unforced life where we live as God intended us to live, and where we are invited to kind of walk into life in all its restfulness right here and right now, as well as in the time to come.
Yeah. Great stuff. Well, normally the third question would be, what is God inviting you to do? But a few weeks ago, Mark Rader kind of reshaped that question for us during this season of social distancing, and has reframed it to read this way: what do you need to pay more attention to stemming out of this scripture? Mark, I'll throw to you again.
Yeah, so normally question three is that question around, you know, where do you sense God's invitation? And I think, you know, Mark has kind of honed this in at this time to lead us to more kind of deeply kind of anchor ourselves, I suppose, in this passage and hear that invitation. And so I think for me, where I need to pay more attention is to that whole idea of heart examination. And actually, it's very easy, particularly in a moment like this, to kind of speak about that hypothetically and speak about it out here. But actually, for me, it's like, you know, I need to examine my heart and ask those questions in prayer and as I read scripture and allow God to kind of search me and know me, as the Psalms talk about. And for me, it's to ask that question of my heart: well, what are the things that I'm doing that are in rebellion, that are turning away from God? Where am I, I guess, turning towards other idols and allowing sin to deceive me and harden my heart? And I think for me, in that space, it's been, you know, particularly in this time where, you know, things are very different. Things are very different in terms of our workplace and all of the things I get to engage with week to week. And my response so often to chaos, as I might describe it, is to seek to control.
Yeah.
And I think that is often our response to fear or situations that kind of stress us or feel like they're attacking us, or difficult circumstances. And And in some ways, I'm ashamed to say that quite often I turn to other things that I feel I can control rather than turning to God for his comfort and his rest and his rhythm and his guidance. And, you know, and so one of the ways I really like seek to do that is by controlling my environment. And that is, I get kind of obsessive about cleaning. And on the face of it...
Particularly during a pandemic, am I right? Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, fully triggered. But it's so easy, you know, kind of think, oh, I've got a tidy apartment. That means that, you know, my world is in order and I'm and things are under control. And actually, it's not bad to have a tidy apartment, but when that becomes the thing that is the only thing that brings you kind of peace and security, I have to examine my heart and ask questions about, like, why am I not turning to God in that space? Why am I not inviting him to bring his perfect peace? Because that is what he offers. That's what scripture tells us he offers. And so actually, you know, where am I seeking to control or responding, I guess, in a sinful way rather than reaching out to God? So that for me is the kind of where I need to pay more attention.
Yeah. It's that whole taking like a self-reflection of your heart and almost allowing yourself to sit in the tension of conviction, isn't it? Because conviction is God's work in our lives. And if we close ourselves off, if we harden our hearts to that conviction, well, we're actually hardening ourselves towards the work of God in our life. And so as uncomfortable as it is, we don't like the idea of conviction. We don't like the idea of having to repent and like really lay out the areas of our life where we are taking that control away from God and holding on to it. But we actually need to do that more to align our hearts with God and, you know, because this is a passage saying, watch out, like you need to watch out or else your heart will be hard towards God. Yeah. And then you won't feel that conviction anymore. But when you do feel that conviction, almost lean into it. It's hard and it's uncomfortable, but it will actually draw you closer to this the God that is better.
And just kind of quickly on that point, I think I love that you've talked about conviction, because quite often we can get caught up in kind of the shame that can come with it. And I think what's been really helpful for me in my life is separating the difference between conviction and condemnation. Yeah. Because if you feel a sense of shame, if you feel like you can't move forward with this, then that's condemnation. And that's not the way that God works. But the Holy Spirit, scripture tells us, comes to bring conviction. Mm. And that is a challenging, but it's also with an invitation, and there's a hopeful exit to it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Jadine, what do you feel like you need to be paying more attention to?
I think as Mark and you have sort of spoken about, it's just that regular attention and observation of your heart. Mm. I think it's a really actually painful thing for us to observe our hearts, because it's our most vulnerable space.
Yeah.
And even we don't know ourselves or know our hearts and how we deeply feel about things because we don't spend enough time there. Mm. While Mark was talking about the, I guess, not the sin of cleaning, but, you know, the thing that you clutch to gain a sense of control or power in a situation. I think I've noticed for me, my thing that I do is distraction, is picking up a phone, flicking on a screen, doing something, just, and because I'm more aware of it and I'm connecting to my heart more, I'm like, why did you just pick up your phone then?
Yep.
Like, there was no good reason for you to do it. It was just to avoid that moment of focusing on something that was important and necessary, but my heart wanted to get away from it. So I've been really noticing that. So I think part of the key, I guess, to put legs on it and put it into your daily life is to practice observation.
Yep.
For me personally, that looks like I do a daily short journal, which only takes a few minutes. And one of my first questions is, how are you going? Like, how are you feeling today? Mm. How's your heart? And what made those circumstances, you know, made you feel that way?
Yep.
So I'm having to get honest with myself regularly. And I think when you are focusing on observing something, you'll then see it pop up in the rest of your day because you're focusing and giving daily small attention to things often will make you see it more. Mm. So I think that's a really important thing. And obviously the repetition, when you're doing that daily in just small increments, it'll compound and you'll get to see that more and more. And I think obviously accountability is one of those things, as the, you know, the passage talks about in Hebrews, that we're to encourage each other.
Yeah.
It's actually talking with someone or having consistent people that you catch up with, whether it's a friend or a mentor or maybe even someone in counseling, to be able to talk through situations. Because I think we all go through such big, incredibly heartbreaking, gut-wrenching things. And if we're not creating a space where our heart can be heard and be seen, firstly by ourselves, but then by other people, it's a real, I don't know what else you can do but drift, you know, because it's too painful to confront. So I think being generous and gracious with ourselves to show up and hear our hearts and to sit with it and to be okay with that, but then also to process that with other people who are safe and can journey on that with you.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting because the fourth question that we would normally do when we read the Bible together is, what can you share with someone? Like, how can you share this? And I think that's exactly it, that accountability piece. And we are in such a society where it's like head down, bums up, like let's just go for it. And we don't take that time to just pause and be on purpose and have that kind of self-examination, and even less so willing to then share that with someone and have that space of vulnerability and go, actually, like, let's have some real talk here. But man, that's why we're called into the body of Christ. That's why we do this as a community. And, you know, I was talking about this last week, like that's why, like that's the image of God in us lived out when we come together and we actually do this faith journey together and hold each other accountable. That's when the voices of our world become far less loud and far, far less consistent in our minds and in our ears.
And I think things that can pull our hearts away are so subtle in our culture at the moment. Productivity is a good thing. Like people are like, oh, you know, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing, you know, I'm busy at work. I'm busy with the family or whatever it is. We can be just busying ourselves, you know, away, but also busying ourselves away from God in that space as well, if we're not carving out that time, that intentional time, that on purpose time. To give our hearts to God and to be examined. Like I love it in Psalm 139 at the end where it talks about, search me, O God, and know my heart, test my thoughts. You know, we need to do that as well. It's such a beautiful psalm. It talks about God knowing us intimately, and sometimes we don't even know ourselves intimately. So sometimes it's just facing up to our own heart and what's going on and how I genuinely feel about something that helps us move through a situation.
And I think, you know, the end of the kind of this section of Hebrews that we're looking at today, you know, ends up in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And it talks about the word of God being alive and active, like a double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. And, you know, and that's like, that's intense language.
Yes, it is.
That's an intense language. But that is kind of the work of God to bring conviction and to deal with the hard heart problem. And I think that's an invitation really to kind of go into almost open heart surgery with God, that we might be opening ourselves up to that examination, that we might be listening to his voice. Because if, as you spoke about last week so greatly, you know, that Jesus is better, then surely he's got something that we need to listen to. And, you know, and I feel like that's the invitation here.
Guys, thanks for reading the Bible with me today. That was awesome. I loved hearing your reflections, loved hearing how God is speaking to you through his word.
Thanks.
Thanks, Matt.
If you want to know more about the Reading the Bible Together, all that information is available for you on GBC Links. We'll also be uploading it on our social media accounts this week. Can I also remind you about our Big Three podcast? This is our weekly podcast, which is released on Wednesdays. And you can snap the Slido QR code, which is on the screen now, to join the conversation. You can add your own questions and also upvote other questions that you like. As we wrap up our service today, can I encourage you to take the time to examine your own heart and invite God into that space, whether through prayer, through his word, or by sharing with others?